The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Good morning, Delaware Valley. This is another edition of Boomer Generation Radio. Your host, Richard Address, coming to you on WWDB 860 AM and streaming live on WWDBAM.com. Today's show, we're going to be exploring the article that appeared a couple of weeks ago, about 10 days ago, in the Wall Street Journal, reporting a surge in the number of seminary attendees made up of baby boomers who have left their full-time lucrative jobs in industry or started their own retirement and have heard the call of God, and we want to know why. We'll be back right after these messages.
One great way to preserve the values, thoughts, and experiences of your family's older members for future generations is to commission a family legacy documentary. Hi, this is Steve Lubetkin from Lubetkin Communications. We produce family legacy videos by recording conversations with your family members on high-definition video. We weave a story by interspersing your loved one's recollections with photos, family treasures, home movies, and video, just like the documentaries you love to watch on television. It's a powerful way to add context and understanding to your family's traditions and stories. It'll help your loved ones live on as they explain how your family's story came to unfold in the way that it did. Get more information now at lubetkin.net or call us at 856-751-5491. Mention Jewish Sacred Aging and you'll get a 10% discount on your family video project.
Look around at all that's important to you. You and your spouse have made a great life here. But without proper planning, everything you've worked for could end up going to a nursing home. You don't have to go it alone. Call Begley Law Group at 800-533-7227. We'll help preserve assets for your spouse and your children. And it's never too late to plan. Call 800-533-7227 to get started now. Begley Law Group, leaders in planning for the elderly and disabled.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Good day again. Welcome back to Boomer Generation Radio. Today, again, coming to you on WWDB 860 and streaming live on WWDBAM.com. And we're very, very honored to welcome to our studio today Rabbi David Levin, a brand new rabbi in the sense of just being ordained about a month ago from the Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion in New York City, and by way of full disclosure, a former student of mine. And the reason we've invited David here today is a result of an article that appeared about 10 days ago in the Wall Street Journal indicating this interesting rise in the number of baby boomers who have chosen to give up their business careers and or in seeking early retirement and choosing to go to seminaries of various denominations. And when I read the article, I shook my head and said, wait a minute, why? Why would somebody want to do this at this particular stage in life? So, David, welcome to Boomer Generation Radio.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's good to see you. And I just want to start with a basic question. Just give us a little bit of a background. You've just been ordained as a rabbi from HUC. Give us a little bit of this journey. Why would you get, you were in real estate in Florida?
I was in real estate banking and finance. Yeah.
Real estate banking and finance, right. In Florida.
The last portion of the career was in Florida.
Okay, and then you chose to give up real estate, banking, and finance to take 5 years out of your life and go to the seminary.
And go to the seminary.
So why?
You know, my therapist is still working on that one. I don't really have a straightforward answer. Actually, I do have a straightforward answer for you. And it probably speaks to what some of the common issues were in the article. I enjoyed and embraced what was my Judaism and found great meaning in the relationships that were created, great meaning in the traditions that Judaism brought to my life and the fullness that was a result of being actively involved. And I had become increasingly involved over time. And like so many others, I think, in our age group, speaking as a boomer, if you will.
You're how old? Just for so people can, even though you look about 30 years old. How
and that's
old
why
are?
I love this man.
How old are you?
Truly, I'm 55.
Okay.
So I started the seminary 5 years ago, which would have put me at 50, and the journey obviously started sometime before that. So there were a few years of planning and thought that went into the ultimate decision to make the journey. But the questions, I think, that one finds oneself asking, you know, why am I here? How do I make meaning in my life? What's the purpose behind all of this stuff? And how can I make a positive contribution, make a positive impact? And I found so much joy and meaning-making in the context of the Jewish tradition that it was important to me to say, this is an opportunity to use something that I found that had such great value and had such great opportunity and share that with other people.
In the article, the people who wrote the article commenting on the various religious denominations that were represented, and they had the full menu, they all came back to this same concept of finding meaning. So that begs the question, you found no, quote, meaning in life in your business world?
No, actually, I enjoyed my business world a lot. I was having fun doing real estate deals. I was having a wonderful time. I had shared with you, we'd done a radio show where we were educating the public about the fundamentals of real estate and finance, and we were involved in sharing with them what we saw being the problems that were on the horizon with real estate. So the teaching and the educating piece was actually very fulfilling. Doing real estate deals is actually quite a bit of fun. But what I found was that as much fun and as much enjoyment as I was deriving, there was a passion that I was finding in this other stuff. I was enjoying being with my friends and my temple family, if you were, at my synagogue. The relationships that I made, the dinners that we would share, the conversations that we would have, all touched upon something far deeper.
Can you pinpoint one moment in this lead up to the decision of applying to the seminary that really was the tipping point?
I think that there were a series of them. There wasn't a light switch that flipped on, although it was a very deliberative process. I spent a lot of my time working at my temple. I was on the board of directors down in Temple Bat Yam in Fort Lauderdale.
And that didn't dissuade you.
And you would think that would actually make me want to run away very fast.
Wow. Okay.
I was dedicated to the mission.
Right.
And
the mission
was the vision of having this wonderful community of people who were in relationship with each other. And that, you know, that may sound highfalutin, but it's friends, it's family. It's that opportunity to be close with people who aren't particularly interested in the next business deal. It was an opportunity to be invested in how are you doing and how can we do something together that's exciting or interesting or fun. And those were the things that motivated me that brought me into the synagogue. And that's sort of the thing that I think keeps us above the fray when we get into the minutiae of all of the logistical things that go into being in a congregation. If you don't pull back and remember the perspective that the why you're doing what it is you're doing, you can get caught up in the weeds, if you will. But, you know, we enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. And, again, it was the opportunity to be in that community and then to learn more about the thing that was providing such value and joy in my life.
So is it safe to say that, as opposed to, it's a popular theory, you did not get a, quote, call, but it was a gradual process that moved you to do this?
It was. Back when I was younger, in the 70s, way back then, I had seriously contemplated going into the rabbinate.
Were you raised my mentor. Far? You raised up here?
I was raised in New York.
New York.
Raised
okay.
in New York. Rabbi Louis Frischman's Temple Beth okay. El in Spring Valley was my stomping ground. And he gave me some really good stuff that stayed inside and sometimes got a little bit more hidden than other times. And it continued to, however, percolate. So it was an opportunity for me to realize that this is something that was meaningful. And the more I did, the more it drew me in, to the point where, in real terms, actually, I sort of had a bifurcated existence. Half of my time was at my synagogue doing stuff that I was enjoying there, and half of my time was in my business world doing the real estate stuff and the seminars and the lecturing. And for me, it became the tipping point became the moment when I could no longer do one thing for one part of my life because it would actually detract from something I was doing in the other part of my life. So at that moment, I said, you know, do I consider following my passion mm-hmm. or do I consider attempting to balance these two different things? And because of the strength of it, I guess you can call it a calling, although back in the 70s, I was told the moment you mentioned the word calling in an interview, you were out of there. So there's been sort of a change in the way I think that we've approached some of this stuff.
What was the reaction of your family and friends when you sat them down and said, I have now decided to apply to the seminary? And what was the first silence, congratulations, or are you crazy, or all of the above?
All of the above. All of the above. You know, back my parents, both of them are no longer with us, so you know, may their memories continue for me. And I think at some point I'd love to think that they're looking down going, whoa, he did it. I'm amazed. But back when I was in college and they were actively involved in my growing up process, they were, you know, very, very involved in the process. As a matter of fact, I lovingly would call it an intervention on some level. You know, they flew out to Chicago to sit down with me and say, are you serious about this or are you just sort of going off on some sort of an exploratory adolescent whim in the process? And I wasn't ready to do it. I went and got my MBA from NYU instead and went on to a career which I think was reasonably successful by most measures. But this particular place, I am here because of where I am. And it took all of the experiences that I've had through the life, which included some wonderful celebrations. Unfortunately, obviously, as I mentioned, the death of my parents, other extraordinary life cycle events that have shaped and molded me and brought me to the place where I truly appreciate the blessings that I've experienced and some of the tribulations that I've gone through, and that they've shaped me, and that the Jewish tradition has been a very, very valuable way of contextualizing those things and helping me to understand the hows and the whys of that stuff fitting together.
We're speaking with newly ordained Rabbi David Levin and his journey from as a returning baby boomer, or baby boomer returning to the service of God and as a seminarian and now a brand newly ordained rabbi. And we'll be right back with Rabbi Levin. That sounds still. Does it still sound funny when
that sounds so cool?
Yeah,
I got to tell you.
And you're listening to Boomer Generation Radio on WWDB 860 AM here in the Delaware Valley and streaming live on WWDBAM.com. And before we return to our guest, a couple of messages that I want to bring to your attention. For those of us of a certain age, we remember such songs as Puff the Magic Dragon and Leaving on a Jet Plane and I Had a Hammer, and we associate them a lot with Peter, Paul, and Mary. Well, this Sunday at McCore Stock at Congregation McCore Shalom at 850 Evesham Road, Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary will be the headliner at this major, major day of fun and musical performances, choirs, children's entertainment, vendors, raffles, of course, delicious food. McCore Stock Festival of Arts, Music, and Shalom will be there all day on Sunday, June the 2nd. You can get your tickets now in advance. Advance discount prices are available. For information and tickets, go to www.mkorshalom.org. That's MKORSHALOM.org. MkorShalom.org. June 2nd, that's this Sunday, at Congregation Mekor Shalom, Rain or Shine, in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, 850 Evesham Road. You will not regret it. It's a major, major event for the congregation. And you'll be doing another good deed as opposed to other things that you may be aware, may or may not be aware of. This day is also in partnership with the Gift of Life Organ Donor Program. So you will be helping to raise the awareness of this very, very important aspect of our contemporary lifestyle. So Mekor Stock, Congregation Mekor Shalom, this Sunday at June 2nd. Again, tickets available at www.mekorshalom.org. And if you are into tandem bicycling through the wonderful, beautiful countryside of southern New Jersey, my friends at Tandems East in southern New Jersey have asked me to remind you that this weekend is Tandem Weekend. All weekend, reservations are filling up fast, so Mal and Barbara Kornbluth had asked me to remind you to get your reservations in to ride the beautiful southern New Jersey Cape May area with staying at the Golden Inn, the famous Golden Inn in Avalon, New Jersey. Great rides and food and an opportunity to make lasting new tandem bicycle friendships. For costs and information, you can please go to www.tandemseast.com. That's TandemSeast.com, or you can call them at 856-451-5104. That's 856-451-5104. The Tandem East Tandems Weekend. This weekend, lots of things to do. The weather's supposed to be fantastic for listening to Peter Yarrow and bringing your family to Mekor Stock or riding around Cape May all weekend. So this should be fun. Rabbi David Levin, welcome back to Boomer Generation Radio. In your conversations just before the first break, my sense in listening to you that theology in your going to the seminary and from your perspective midlife, the theology was not the primary motivating factor more than relationships. Am I correct or am I off base?
No, I think that there's some validity to that. You know, we are brought up with, I think our view of God and our view of what that means develops over time. And unfortunately, a lot of us don't have an opportunity to really pursue and develop that as we develop. And I think that a lot of what we are learning as we process and we go through life is that understanding of what it means to have a concept of God and how that concept of God relates to you in your life develops and matures over time as you develop and mature over time. So, I mean, there's a real theological aspect that underlies the relationships, because I think that, in fact, when we talk about what relationships are, there's this wonderful passage, not to sound like I'm a rabbi or anything, but, you know, the Parsha Truma, we talk about how the tablets are in the Aron, and on top of the Aron is the cover with the two cherubim with their arms outstretched to each other as they face each other. And there's this wonderful little itty-bitty sentence that says, and God is there in between those two people, or in between those two angels. And I think that that's metaphorical for the value of relationships. So I think God is there. I think that the theology is there, even though oftentimes we tend not to think so much about the theology, but it's the underlying thing, if you will.
So I'm interested also in pursuing this. You're a second career student?
Well, third, maybe.
Well, okay.
Depending on how you count.
Okay. Well, I don't count very well. What was it like going through the classes being significantly older than numbers of your students? What was that, numbers of your classmates? What was that like?
It was interesting. You know, we talk about seeing the world through new eyes,
right.
and I think that that's very valuable. I have life experience which shapes the way I look at stuff. Whereas somebody who doesn't have those life experiences doesn't have that same shaping and molding. So they come to the table with a perspective that I don't have. I may have had it way back when, but it's an opportunity actually to refresh myself and to look at things that I may not have looked at that way for a very long time. So I found that having those youngsters, if you will, and I don't mean that in any kind of a bad way, but, you know, talking as a 55-year-old with someone at the table who's between extraordinary men and women, truly extraordinary men and women, but they're 25 to 35
right.
for the most part, we're coming from different places. So we bring to the table something very different, each of us. So hopefully I'm sharing with them how life experience may in fact shape this idea that we're talking about. And they're sharing with me their understandings unfettered by those life experiences and what could be, as opposed to maybe the more cynical, well, this is what has been.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been an actually very uplifting opportunity for me to share. And I'd like to think, though, that from the business perspective and from the life experience perspective, I bring a certain capacity to understand strategy and maybe how things fit together in a more sort of a holistic way. So I think each of us, my younger colleague as well as myself, brought something very special to the conversation.
Did you find it difficult when you were in the process of what we call placement, or, you know, looking for positions? Your gut feeling and truth, ageism, where did people look at you differently because you were 55 years old as opposed to 30 years old?
I think people have been looking at me differently for a really long time, for a bunch of reasons. But yes, I mean, to not to be cute, but yeah, sure. You know, there's an opportunity. Where does someone like me truly fit? Mm-hmm. So how the congregation, and really it's based on the congregation's needs. You know, if a congregation really understands who they are and what it is that they're looking for in a rabbinic presence, then they don't have to worry about the issue of age necessarily, although they could really say, hey, look, you know, we want, and I've had honest conversations with people, which is, I think, important, where they're saying, you know, you're not fitting the age profile. We wanted some young person who plays the guitar who can relate to the kids.
Right.
And, you know, that's, I can say, you know, that's discriminatory, but I think that that's very real.
It's also honest.
And it's honest, and I think we have to be willing to appreciate the fact that, and I'll talk like a marketing guy, not like a rabbi. It's, you know, we have specific needs, and I have a specific thing that I'm bringing to the table. And it's where those two things fit together that there's the opportunity. So I'm not the rabbi for 8 or 9 or 10 different congregations. I'm the rabbi for that one particular congregation. They have to be willing to seek me out. I have to be willing to wait and find them as well.
How many other second career students, older students, were in your class?
I had, there were a few. There were a few. A couple in the cantorial program. There were a couple in the rabbinic program as well.
All placed?
Everybody has found a position that they're very excited about.
That's good.
Yeah, it's terrific.
That's terrific. Your journey, your particular journey, again, you're also in the process of, you're about to get married.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You've just been ordained. You're about to get married. This journey that really you're, this stage of your life. I want you to just talk a little bit about where you see this your own personal journey. Is this a sense of ending one phase or really a sense of looking forward into this very, very exciting next chapter? And what do you want to have happen now?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. I'm very excited about the going forward stuff. But I also believe that I am the total set of experience, or the sum total of everything that's come before. So my desire to work with people and to help foster relationships is based on the understanding of the value of relationships, which didn't come from necessarily from the rabbinic training. It came from the life experience. It came from the loving and the losing. It came from the creating friendships. I love the chaplaincy work that I have done at Cooper Hospital and at the HUP. I love being at, well, I've got congregations. I've got people who care about me and who I care about. And I'm just thrilled and blessed that I'm the person that they think of oftentimes when there's a moment of need. that I can be there to be present for them in a moment of issue or a moment of crisis. So this is all very exciting stuff, and I'm really springboarding everything I've got. And frankly, I think I'm re-energized by this process as opposed to some sort of a tapering off. I was, shall we say, at a career plateau, and I'm now springboarding off of that to the next phase, and really very excited about the opportunity.
Do you think, and I'm sure you've met other people of your generation who have given up or changed directions, let's say, not only going into the priesthood or the rabbinate or the ministry, but just changing life directions. Is it because they plateaued, or is it because, in your experience, they have a sense of my need to find some sense of real meaning is missing, and this is going to provide it to me?
Well, I think that there are a bunch of different personalities to respond to that differently. So the question really becomes, you know, how deep do you want to go? I think that for a lot of us, and this goes across whether you're affiliated or not affiliated, whether you're Jewish or something else,
right?
The existential questions are the ones that tend to hit you somewhere around midlife. Mm-hmm. You know, you've been doing your thing because that's the thing you were supposed to be doing, or that's the thing that you were told you were supposed to be doing. And now you're looking back on what's been and wondering about the next phase, the last part of the journey, and beginning to wonder why and how do I make this next phase meaningful? And at the end of the day, when I'm looking back on everything that was, what am I leaving behind? Am I leaving behind kids that I love and a family that I've created and a better world for them to be a part of? And I think that those existential questions supersede or actually transcend wherever we are. So that's the opportunity for us, I think, as religious leaders, to step into space and really reach out to those, whether they're affiliated or unaffiliated.
The desire to affect a human being, the motivating factor, I think. And we'll be back to say thank you and goodbye to Rabbi Levin after these messages.
Today, many families are expressing a growing interest in preserving the values, thoughts, and experiences of their older members so that future generations can benefit from their wisdom. This is Steve Lubetkin from Lubetkin Communications. We can create a family legacy video you'll treasure for years to come. Get more information now at lubetkin.net or call 856-751-5491. Mention Jewish Sacred Aging and you'll get a 10% discount on your family legacy video project.
Look around at all that's important to you. You and your spouse have made a great life here. But without proper planning, everything you've worked for could end up going to a nursing home. You don't have to go it alone. Call Begley Law Group at 800-533-7227. We'll help preserve assets for your spouse and your children. And it's never too late to plan. Call 800-533-7227 to get started now. Begley Law Group, leaders in planning for the elderly and disabled.
Welcome back to Boomer Generation Radio here on WWDB AM 860 here in the Delaware Valley. We want to thank our guest this morning, Rabbi David Levin, a newly ordained baby boomer, second career rabbi, for joining us and really dialoguing on this whole phenomenon of why somebody would in midlife make this great change. So, David, thank you very much for coming with us. We really appreciate it and your insights.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And we wish you nothing but happiness and joy in this chosen profession and calling. And, of course, much happiness and joy in your upcoming marriage. Enjoy everything. Have fun in Venice.
I will. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
To all of you, on behalf of Boomer Generation Radio, have a great day. We'll see you next week.